the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Mel Kiper Jr., Floyd Reese, has released his mock draft 2.0. So apparently Mel will release a draft over and over again, but he's got five mock drafts, and this is mock draft 2.0.
Wow.
That he has released. And he has, as we skip all the way down to the Titans at 25, usually the Titans are very early in these things, but we skip all the way down to the Titans at 25, and Mel Kiper Jr. has the Titans selecting not a pass rusher, not a wide receiver, not a linebacker, but a running back. A running back at 25, Mel Kiper Jr., mock draft 2.0, Ronald Jones II, the running back out of USC. And Mel Kiper writes, Tennessee is expected to part ways with DeMarco Murray, which means Derrick Henry becomes the primary back. New offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur spent time with the Falcons and Rams, who both used their backs a lot in the passing game. And Jones could be a complimentary back who helps there. He caught only 14 passes last season, but he has a lot of tools with which to work and has a lot of talent after the catch. I also thought about center or guard here, as the Titans need to upgrade the interior of their line. So here's Mel Kiper Jr. saying, we know all the needs of the Titans. And Mel's right about interior offensive line, linebacker, pass rusher, wide receiver. And if you cut DeMarco Murray, at some level, running back is an issue. But at 25, for a guy like Ronald Jones, who only caught 14 passes last season, I'm not sure that that really fits what the Titans are looking for. So when you hear that, when you hear running back at 25, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting because he says we want to bring in a running back that's going to help with the pass game, and we're going to bring in a guy that caught 14 balls. I mean, I'm not sure that's the answer, but I mean, I don't, you know, of all the things they need to do, unless they're going to revamp the running game and Derrick Henry is out, somebody like that, then I can't see him taking a running back at 25. I mean, there are too many other pressing needs, too many other things. Now, if there's no one there, you know, you don't want one of the guards, which it's a good guard crop. If you don't want, and you know my feeling about taking a guard in the first round, but if there's nobody out there like that that you like, no pass rusher, no, you know, I mean, to be honest, I'd trade to pick away rather than take a running back.
Well, it reminds me of a time where they sit at 25, and I don't remember where you sat, but there was one draft where Charlie Casserly and the Texans came to you and they offered you 2 second-round picks for your first round pick, or it was something like that. And they took Jason Babin, and then you went and you drafted 2 people or 3 people in the second round of that draft, and they ended up being pretty good players like Travis LeBoy and things like that. And I look at this draft and I think to myself, unless that's an absolute game-breaking running back that somehow slips to you at 25 and you're looking at it thinking, oh, my God, we thought this guy was going to go 6th and he's sitting there at 25, let's take him. Unless that's what Ronald Jones II is, and I don't know anything about Ronald Jones II, but unless that's who that guy is, it doesn't make a lot of sense because Derrick Henry does seem like a starting running back in the NFL at this point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, you don't take the 25th pick in the draft and bring in a backup. You know, that's not the objective. The objective is to bring in somebody that's going to start, fill a spot, and go from there. You know, you bring in a backup at another spot. Now you're not only losing the starting position there for the immediate future, but you also fail to cover another need where you need a starting position. So it's kind of a double whammy for you. So I don't... I mean, right now, you have to keep in mind, this is what all of these guys are going through. This is information that they have gotten on the run. Now, not to say they don't look at games, and because I'm sure they do. But as far as actually having, you know, a draft board and having it stacked and having it the way I want, I mean, a lot of that for them is hearsay. As they go on, as they get into the combine, as they get into pro days, as they get into all that kind of stuff, all of these things will change, I mean, you know, a dozen times. So it's, you know, it's first shot, first thought, and fine, all's well and good, and, you know, when does 3.0 come out. Let's see what that looks like.
But all in all, I mean, a running back at 25 just, I mean, it makes sense if he's a game breaker. Like with the Titans, so I remember when the Titans took Chris Johnson in the first round in 2008, and I thought it was a terrible pick. And I was like, why are you taking Chris Johnson? You have Lindale White and Chris Henry, who you just drafted in the second round. Now, I didn't know Chris Henry was going to be absolutely terrible, but that's neither here nor there. I was a senior in high school, and I could not believe that they drafted Chris Johnson. And then one preseason game into his career, I said, okay, now that's why they drafted him, because on like his first carry against the Rams, he ran right up the middle for an 80-yard touchdown. If that guy gets to you at 25, okay, that I understand. But, I mean, the Titans are in a tough spot because they're 9-7, and they're going to have a tough schedule, and they don't have a great pick, and yet they're a team that is really flawed roster-wise. And running back, when you already have a second-round running back just doesn't make sense when you're as flawed roster-wise as they are.
Well, and we keep talking like DeMarco's not going to be there, which could be the case, but also could be that he is there. And if he's there, then you've got two such running backs, and you certainly don't need to draft a guy that's going to come in and be a third.
I mean, just from all the talking with you about this, I get the impression that if you were still GM of the Titans, you would try to find a way to keep DeMarco Murray above drafting, trading, or signing an undrafted free, whatever, or just turning it over to Derek. It sounds to me like you would find a way to make it happen that DeMarco Murray stays.
Oh, yeah, if I could. Now, it'd have to be for a lesser contract, but if, and assuming you think he's going to be healthy. Now, I'm not sure starting next year I wouldn't switch the roles. You know, I'm not sure that Derek wouldn't be my first down back and DeMarco would be my second and third down back, simply because his versatility is so much better. But, I mean, if he was healthy and they could expect to get, you know, 15, 16 games out of him, yeah. I mean, I would keep him around.
And that takes me to the other part of what Mel Kiper says in here, which we talked about a little bit, but this going back to Matt LaFleur. And it says, new offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur spent time with the Falcons and the Rams. Now, just looking at their running backs when LaFleur was there, Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman are both really fast, good out of the backfield type pass catcher running backs. And obviously Todd Gurley is a do-all anything back. And so he goes, new offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur spent time with the Falcons and the Rams, who both used their backs a lot in the passing game, and Jones could be a complimentary back who helps there. If Matt LaFleur is so, if he wants a running back like Gurley or like Coleman and Freeman, then does Derrick Henry really fit what he's trying to do, or does he have to change what he's trying to do to fit Derrick Henry?
Well, I mean, you got to go one way or the other. That's what I was saying. I mean, if he's looking for Freeman, looking for that style guy, then, I mean, that is not Derrick Henry. I mean, we know what Derrick is, and he's got a very specific skill set. And, you know, if you're going to change the position, that's fine. But then, you know, I think you would have to say, well, you've got to trade both the running backs away and go out and get two or three new ones, because you've got to bring in, you know, a starter and a backup and a third and a whatever else. And that's why I said when we were talking, when we started going through this whole thing, one of the real critical factors here is that they understand as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator, as a whatever, that these are the guys that are on our squad and we really don't want to make a lot of changes if we can help it. So, you know, keep in mind that we're going to like in whatever form or fashion these two guys on the club, and they're, you know, this is the style running back they are. And, you know, rather than going out and getting two new ones after we just spent a, you know, a bunch of money and then a second round draft choice, we just soon keep these guys if we have a, you know, the opportunity to do that.
So that's how we're starting today. The Titans, according to Mel Kiper Jr. in his mock draft 2.0, going to take Ronald Jones II, a running back out of USC. And that's when it hit me today, running back at 25. And then I get your reaction to running back at 25, and it makes me think, yeah, definitely not running back at 25. But that's how we're starting. We'll open the phone lines with your thoughts. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And I think the question here, as we start Titans today, is, if Mel Kiper Jr. wants the Titans or is projecting the Titans to take a running back at 25, how do you feel about that? Because I look at this team and I think they're not far away from having the chance to be really good, but they really got to hit in this draft and they really got to address some issues in free agency. And I know running backs are important. I'm not a guy who says the running back position's not important, but I feel like they have a lot bigger things to get to than running back. So 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The Preds won last night. Good win for the Preds at Detroit. They got the two games against the bad teams that we said they needed to get. They're back at it tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Plus, boy, there's some hot takes coming out in college basketball land right now after all the Louisville and FBI and everything else that's coming out. And apparently Rick Pitino going to have a press conference today. And Floyd Reese,
can't wait.
When he has that, we'll get your reaction to all the things that he says, because I'm sure you will love that. But it's Jared and the GM live in the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc., Mount Juliet. And coming up next, it's the question everybody's going to ask about the Titans in the draft. And Floyd, I want to know what you would say to somebody who has the most generic question. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Mel Kiper Jr. on ESPN Radio. So you hear what he says about wide receivers bad, defensive end, pass rusher is bad. Well, that's not good because the Titans are in need of a wide receiver maybe, and definitely a pass rusher, maybe a couple, some linebackers. So, Floyd, the Titans are sitting at 25th overall. Mel Kiper Jr. in his mock draft 2.0, he's got the Titans taking Ronald Jones II, the running back out of USC, at 25. If somebody says this, and we're going to get this call, because remember last year we got all the calls that were, I think the Titans need a wide receiver and a corner. Well, then where do the Titans go in the draft? Wide receiver and corner. This year, though, it might not be so simple. What would you say to someone that says the Titans have got to have a pass rusher or a wide receiver at 25, knowing that these aren't strengths of the draft? If somebody were to say that to you, what would you say in response to hearing that?
Well, I mean, you could still end up with one or the other, but not, you know, not in the draft. I mean, you can trade the pick, and there may be some veteran guys out there that'll be available that people would be willing to get rid of. You have to look at that. Unrestricted free agency is also an option. And if you can't, you know, if you were able to go out in unrestricted free agency and get a pass rusher that solves that problem, and get a, let's say, a receiver, if that's what you're looking for, to solve that problem, or a guard to solve, then that narrows down the number of problems you have to solve in the draft. So, I mean, it's just a matter of you can't cheat the market, you can't cheat the draft. That is, you know, you can't go into the draft hoping there's going to be a receiver there, because there'll be a receiver there when you pick. It's just how good are they?
Right.
And so, you know, you got to go in there and you've got to say, if you're 25, you're sitting at 25, and there's a guy there that you have valued at 25, great, take him. If you don't, then you've got to trade, you've got to get out of it, you've got to take another position, you've got to do something.
Well, it was like Trevor yesterday came on the show and talked about the idea of Lamar Jackson at 25 as a slash player who does some quarterback things, does some wide receiver things. And I thought Trevor brought up a great point when he said, you know, he could break the game two or three times a game, which would be great. And now, and I tweeted that out, and Corey Curtis from News 2 tweeted me back and said, they got to have a pass rusher. Well, what if there's not a good pass rusher there? What if there's a bunch of middle of the second round, third round pass rushers there that are guys that you kind of like? Because a second round pick is not supposed to be, you know, chopped liver. It's not supposed to be what Kevin Dodd has become.
Right.
But you don't have him rated as the 25th player in the draft or even close to that in that vicinity, then you've either got to trade the pick or take the guy that is not a pass rusher. I mean, the Titans, even though they really need pass rushers and they really need probably another wide receiver, that doesn't mean that they couldn't use a really good middle linebacker or a really good safety to go with Byard. So I just think that there's going to be at least one person who's in that 25 range who does fit some kind of need they have that might not be receiver or edge rusher.
Well, and that's the key. You know, how far are you willing to go away from where you are? You're sitting there, and in your mind, you're thinking, I would love to have a pass rusher. I would love to have a receiver. I would love to have – and you add another couple options. I would love to have a guard. I would love to have – and you know, chances are one of those guys will be there at 25. Now, it may not be the pass rusher, it may not be the receiver, it may be a guard, may be a safety, may be an. So your choices are, okay, you take that guy, or you trade out of it and go down to the second round, get additional picks, and now you pick up two or three of those guys. So that maybe in the second round you can get a receiver and a pass rusher and a guard all in the second round. Maybe you solve all the problems that way. The thing you can't do is you just can't sit there and hope you solve all these problems, because that now you may solve one, which is fine if you get a good enough player, but it's going to be hard to solve multiple problems with that pick.
One thing that leaves me a little gun-shy, though, about the trading in that sense, I think the fans love the idea of trading down to get a bunch of more picks. And when the Titans were at fifth overall last year, I was really hoping that somebody was going to love Deshaun Watson as much as I love Deshaun Watson, because I was hoping someone was going to try to jump in front of the Jets or the Bills, I think, at 11 to go in there and take him. So I was like, please trade, please trade, please trade. And honestly, my two thoughts were please trade, and the second was whatever you do, don't draft Corey Davis. And then they went and they drafted Corey Davis. So I was so disappointed. And yet, you know, if you trade out of 25 and you get a – you get a second round pick, another second round pick, and a fourth round pick, which is probably fair for 25, right?
I'm trading out of 25 completely?
Yes.
I should get probably a second, a third, and a fourth.
Okay. So you get a second, a third, and a fourth. I would love if the second, the third, and the fourth turn into Samari Roll, Derek Mason, Michael Roos.
Oh, yeah.
It's just there's no guarantee that's going to happen, and it may be that those guys turn into Austin Johnson, Derrick Henry, and Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm kind of a little gun-shy on the trading. Now, I would love the idea to trade for an established player, but it's going to be hard to do that because you're going to have to pay whoever you trade for. I mean, Jarvis Landry just got $16 million on the franchise tag yesterday, and as much as I loved how he performed in the dodgeball competition at the Pro Bowl, to me, he is not worth $16 million. Have you noticed this about me with these players? I love them, and then I find out how much they cost on a second contract, and I'm like, whoa. $16 million for Jarvis Landry? It's like right now I think they're at a point where there's a lot of people saying the Rams might franchise Sammy Watkins. I'd love Sammy Watkins on the Titans. Matt LaFleur coached him in L.A. last year. You know, Watkins has high-end talent. But not if he's $16 million a year. He does not stay healthy enough to get $16 million a year from me.
Right, right.
So I'm just a little torn in terms of the trading and then the trading back. And, I mean, all those things just kind of, they kind of get me a little worked up.
Yeah, I mean, and it's scary. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. But, you know, you can trade. You can also trade and pick up a player you like, a player like, let's say there's another Matthews out there someplace that you really like. You know, you can trade 25 for Matthews and still get back a second and a third or a second or something, you know, that would help you later on in the draft. And, you know, because you don't feel like, you know, this guy's worth the 25th. He is worth a third rounder, let's say, or a fourth rounder. Well, then I'll give you my first, but I got to have a second back or a second and a third or, you know, whatever you come up with.
And as gun-shy as I am on trading, if you got a second, a third, and a fourth for 25, I'm in. I mean, that's a second, a third, and a fourth. I mean, we're talking about getting pass rushers and linebackers. You're not going to get – like, you're not going to draft Javon Kearse with your second, your third,
right,
or your fourth, but you might draft Travis LeBoy and Antoine Odom or those kind of players.
And I think what happens is you end up going back to the we're going to solve the problems with numbers rather than quality. But you know what? You can't make – a good player. If the good player is not there, you have to accept that and move on. Because as much as you want that third rounder to you know, be another 3 inches taller or be another 2/10 faster or what, he's not going to grow anymore. He's not getting any faster. He is what he is.
I am just looking at this draft and I'm thinking to myself, this 25th pick might be the one pick that separates the Titans from being a mediocre 8-8 level team and a team that could give Jacksonville, New England, Pittsburgh, whomever, a run for their money in the AFC. because I'm still trying to figure out how good this team was last year. Like, take the coaching out of it, because the coaching's not the same. Let's say it's better coaching this year. Like, how far away are you? Because when we put it on paper, it looks like you're kind of far away. But you did beat Jacksonville twice last year. Now, the Steelers and the Patriots both ran you out of their own building. Now, that's a concern. But again, you beat Jacksonville twice.
Well, don't look at it that way. And I know why you look at it that way.
Because those are the three teams in the conference that were definitely better.
Right. But you have to look at it this way. Okay. And we've talked about this before. Whose defensive line do you want? You know, whose linebacker do you want? Whose secondary do you want? Who's? And when you go through the whole thing, all of a sudden you're saying, well, I've got everything on their team except for the quarterback. And then you're going, uh-oh, that's not good. And I think if you do that with each one of those teams you're talking about, then I think you get a better sense for where they are. Now, 100 things can happen, injuries, new contracts, bringing new guys in. We all understand that. But right now, I think that's kind of the way you have to look at it, simply because that's all we have to go on for the upcoming season.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Chris Sanders is going to join us later this hour. Your thoughts if you want to get him in on the Titans draft. And again, I think 25 is that, I don't want to say monumental pick, but I think it's a huge, huge, huge pick for this franchise. For are you going to be able to match New England, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville? Because New England, I think, is a little bit on the decline. Pittsburgh, I think, is for sure ready for a decline. And Jacksonville, I don't know. And then there's everybody else that might come up. But also, boy, that Jarvis Landry contract. Franchise tag at $16 million. Floyd, we'll get your take on what that means for the Titans in the wide receiver market. We'll do that next as well. Plus, something Trevor said and where the Titans are in this draft process. We'll get into all that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The early big boards and draft chatter, the people that make them will tell you that it's a guess that's only marginally educated, because we don't have the combine, we don't have the pro days. And so, for example, there's a handful of interior offensive linemen that the Tennessee Titans could take at the end of the first round. And any of them look good right now. But some of them might rise way up when you see them work out at the combine. But you might do an interview at the combine with one of them and say, okay, that guy, forget it. I wouldn't take him higher than the fourth round, even though he might be a late first round talent. And so that's what I think about that. There's some interesting names in there. But right now, it's more a basis of beginning an argument than it is an accurate projection of where guys will go.
That was Trevor Maddich on our show yesterday, basically saying all the experts are coming out with their mock drafts, but they don't really know because the teams don't really know yet. Floyd Reese, you've been on the other side of that as the teams. So here we are, about a week before the combine. We went over in the Draft Academy last Friday about the team organizational meetings with the coaches and the scouts and everything else. But, like, take John Robinson, for example. If John Robinson were to wake up and just flip on the TV and see Mel Kiper Jr. has Ronald Jones II from USC going to the Titans at 25, what does John Robinson think when he sees that? And where is John really in the process of thinking about what he's doing with 25?
I don't think John would think much of it. Because everybody knows. And the truth is, Mel even knows. You know, these guys will come out and make all these statements, especially about the quarterbacks, and then by the time we get to the draft, all four of those quarterbacks will be the top four slots. You know, it's the way it always works. But John has his board in place. I'm assuming that the combine meetings are over. So his board is in place. It's up there. There will be adjustments, just like we're talking about Mel having to change when he gets combine information, when he gets information from different clubs about needs and wants and thoughts and all those kinds of things. Well, the clubs will change too. Now, they'll change more on raw data now. You know, now it's the how tall is he really? What's he weigh? How fast is he? What was his medical like? All of those kinds of things. Because really the football part of it is over, and now you're just making sure you know what he is physically and what he is inside, you know, if he's a good enough person for you. So there'll be numbers that will change. None of them will be dramatic. You know, you're not going to have a sixth round guy all of a sudden become a first rounder or vice versa. Assuming that physically he's, you know, got both kidneys and both arms and things like that. So it's going to be hard. I mean, it's, you know, they are kind of finalizing everything. After they get through the combine, after they get through the pro days, it'll be just about draft time, and they'll get together again for another couple of weeks and finalize it all.
Well, like I take, for example, this time last year is when I think it started to come out a little bit that the Titans were at least talking with the Saints about 18 overall for Brandon Cooks. Now, I don't know where the information was coming from because I know it wasn't coming from the Titans, and I'm thinking it was probably coming from the Saints.
Right.
You know, the Titans probably called. Well, obviously, the Saints wanted to trade Brandon Cooks because they ended up trading Brandon Cooks for 32. My guess is the Saints probably called the Titans and said, hey, would you have interest in Brandon Cooks? The Titans probably said, yeah, you know, we probably have some interest in Brandon Cooks. What do you want? And they said 18, and the Titans are like, whoa, that's probably a little too steep. Because we know if you would take 32 for Brandon Cooks, surely you would have taken 18 for Brandon Cooks. So 18 obviously was never offered, right?
Right.
So my guess is the Saints probably asked for 18, and then the Saints wanted it out there that they were open for business on Brandon Cooks, so they put it out there that we talked to the Titans and discussed the 18th overall pick. So that's when that came out. Is this the point in time where John's now looking at making those kind of trades or at least starting the discussion on the trade? Because we've seen John make trades. We saw him make the trade for the number one pick to L.A. We saw him make the trade on draft night back up to 8 to take Conklin. And then we saw him discuss the trade last year for Cooks. If he's looking for the pass rusher, if he's looking for the receiver, and he's thinking about dealing 25, is now where the discussion's starting to happen on players.
You know, it certainly could, but I don't think it would yet. I think what would happen was they're going to go through the combine. They'll go through a bunch of the pro days. You know, 3 weeks leading up to the draft, maybe you give somebody a call. And you go through, you do, literally do this with every team. But you say, hey, you know, we're going to be willing to trade 25 if you're interested. Yeah, we kind of would be interested. Well, who do you have that might interest us? Well, we've got this receiver, Cooks. You know, what do you think about him? And that's probably about the time it would start. But as soon as I said, yeah, I might be interested, I mean, that'll be out there. Simply because they'll want to get, they're hoping there's another team out there. If I'm offering 20, they're hoping there's another team out there at 14 mm-hmm. that wants Cooks too and says, well, what about 14? Now you're making money.
So you think Bill probably saw the report that the Titans were talking about Cooks, and Bill thought, you know, I probably like Cooks too. So he picks up the phone and calls New Orleans and says, I have 32.
Maybe, but I'm going to guess everybody thought the 18 was too expensive for him. So I've got it. And we also had where, like 34 or 35 or something. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just guessing.
Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
Titans had no second round pick last year. They traded that in the deal to move up to 8 to get Conklin.
Oh, okay. Then that was gone. I was going to say they would have traded for a second round, you know, and said, well, would you be interested in 35? And Bill said, well, I'm sitting at 32, which in its essence is a second-round pick anyway. So, you know, what the heck? It's no big deal.
I'm wondering as well, as we're kind of looking at the trade market or the – when does John turn his attention from draft to free agency? Like, when does that happen?
Well, the truth is he's going to go through the combine and you'll be interested in the draft, but he's probably well into free agency right now. I mean, he's – you know, they're going through and they've got their grade. Just like you set up the draft board, you have a pro board just like that that'll have all the pro players and all their grades and what you think they're worth and whatnot. And they're going through all of that, putting their final grades on them. You know, what is it that you – and then after they get to the combine, after they get through the pro days, then they'll sit down and kind of – mix those all together and see what they come up with.
Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Tim is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to quickly point out, well, first of all, I think you're both kind of wrong about Corey Davis. I think Corey Davis is going to be really good. I think he's going to have a great year this year. him and Marcus. I think everything's going to be all peachy. Hold on.
No, no, why do you think that, though?
Because I think the offense was so stagnant, and the offensive play calling and play design was so bad that nobody could get open, and it just made everything all clogged up and everything terrible, and I think it's going to be a lot better this year. Of course, I don't have anything to suggest that it's going to be better this year rather than hope, but that's what I think.
I mean, I don't think that that's a terrible take, Tim. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, hope's a good start.
I don't think that's a bad take. I mean, I was disappointed when they let Mike Mularkey go, but you know me as well as anybody, Floyd. I wanted that offensive coaching to completely change because it was not good enough. So I think there is some – I keep wondering, like I keep trying to take into account just what the change in coaching. If the coaching is better this year than it was last year, which I think a lot of us are assuming that it is going to be better, if the offensive coaching is better, how much does that make a Davis? How much does that make a Derrick Henry or a Marcus? Because I would think that it might have a shot. Now, maybe I'm hoping like the caller, but it might have a shot to make them pretty doggone good players.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, but that's probably the two keys to why there was a change and why they'll be looking for improvement. You know, you've got a guy that was taken number two and a guy that was taken number five, and neither one of them played well. You know, so you're saying, wait a minute now. We've got two top five picks here and neither one can play? There's something wrong here. And so they're going to make the change, and they're expecting. I don't have any doubt. I mean, they're expecting Marcus to play much better, much smarter, and they're expecting Davis to light it up. I mean, that's what they're hoping for.
Are you expecting Davis to light it up next year?
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't get to see him on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. My information is limited, but I mean, right now he hasn't shown me anything to make me, you know, believe that's going to happen. But like I said, I don't see him on a daily basis.
I'll say this, though. I think a lot of the fans feel like the caller does.
Sure, they have to. And that doesn't bother me at all.
I mean, it bothers me a little bit. Like, well, it just bothers me if your expectations are out of sync or out of reality or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I mean, but if you think about two top five picks, it shouldn't be out of reality. They should be good players.
Talking about Marcus and Davis?
Yeah.
Yes.
They should be good players. So all they're doing is they're saying, and looking at it and saying, hey, we got two top five picks here. I mean, they need to be good players. They should be good players. We expect them to be good players.
I'm a Marcus believer. I have believed in Marcus the whole time, including when everybody talked about his struggles last year. And I've given my theories on Marcus over and over again, and nobody listens to him. I think it's everybody around Marcus that stunk last year. Robiski stunk, the receivers stunk, the line stunk. I thought it was everybody else, not so much Marcus. But that was just my unpopular take that I'm not sure people loved as much as I wish they had. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the idea of adding a running back, as Mel Kiper Jr. said, and then maybe the Jarvis Landry $16 million. We'll get to that with Chris as well. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, Mel Kiper Jr. in his latest mock draft 2.0 at ESPN has the Titans drafting Ronald Jones II, the running back out of USC. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Ronald Jones II, Floyd, and I'm not here to make fun of Ronald Jones II because, like I said, I don't really know anything about him. But my guess, unless he's, now this is going to be a bad example, but like when Reggie Bush was in college, I thought Reggie Bush was like an incredible type player. And I was, you know, if you get Reggie Bush right now, the college Reggie Bush that I thought he was going to be in the pros, if you get that at 25, okay. But Ronald Jones, I don't know enough about him to get excited about that at 25.
Well, I think if he's the same kid I'm thinking of, he won like the California State 100 meters. And I mean, he's one of those kind of guys. I mean, a jet.
You know who else was a jet?
Yes.
Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, who joins us now. Mel Kiper's got the Titans taking a running back at 25.
Right.
Chris, what do you think of that?
I mean, if you kind of look at the scenario of the Tennessee Titans office, look at DeMarco Murray. He's probably not going to be here. And then the verdict is still out if Henry's the guy. And if you look at LaFleur and O'Hara, what offense are they going to run? Are they going to have a spread offense, or are they going to be in a 21 personnel? So it's all going to be, you know, can Henry fit the scheme, or they can get a running back that can fit the whole scheme of what they're doing. So That's a big question. But in my opinion, I think they will.
If you already had the Derrick Henry tool in the toolbox,
right?
How would you build your offensive system? How much run? How much pass? And what would you do to really feature Henry's skills?
Yeah, but see, like last year, we always talk about the smash mouth football. Smash mouth is coming straight downhill. I don't know if Matt LaFleur are going to do that. They're going to spread. They're going to make sure the offense is spread out and use the ability of their players. And if you put Henry in that position and you start flaring him out, he's got to read defense. He's got to do things that he's not comfortable with. So if you say you want to build your offense around Henry, you got to put him in position to where he's coming downhill. He doesn't have to think too much and let all of his ability come to fruition.
We keep talking about Davis and where he was last year,
right?
Where we think he's going. And there are a lot of people that think, hey, he's a top five pick. This guy's going to be a great player.
Right.
And I'm a little bit more, well, let me see it. What are your thoughts?
You know what? You know, last year, I was thinking the exact same thing. He's, to me right now, and the verdict's still out, he's just a player right now. He's got to become an impact player. When I say an impact player, a guy that changes the game. I mean, if you look at the guys from Pittsburgh, the guy from Atlanta, guys like that, Julio Jones and Antonio Brown, you got guys that change the game. When you're a top five pick in the draft, you got to be a game changer. You can't make one catch here and drop a pass here or miss a read. You don't have time to do that. You got to say, you know what? If I'm a player that they pick me to be, I'm going to come out, make plays, and change the whole atmosphere of the game. You know, last year I watched him on TV and I watched the game. You didn't feel him on the field. Sometimes I didn't even know he was in the game. But, you know, I can kind of look back at last year. I know he was hurt and he kind of had a bad start. But if he can just come out and be an impact player and change the game, now they can say he's a great top five pick.
We saw Jarvis Landry just got franchised for 16 plus a year.
I'm coming out of retirement.
Yeah, God, you better.
Just for 5 minutes. I just want to come out for 5 minutes.
Is he franchise receiver material to you?
No. 16 million?
Yeah.
Hold up. Is it? Are you serious? $16 million?
Yeah.
Or $16. $16 million or $16. $16. Same category as Davis. He made some plays. He made some splash plays. When I say splash plays,
well, he's caught 400 passes in 4 years.
Yeah, but how? Okay, great. 400 passes. But is he a game changer?
You obviously didn't watch the Pro Bowl skills competition in the dodgeball. He was fantastic.
Okay. If we have a dodgeball team, I'll give him $16 million. But when you sign a guy for $16 million, you better change the game. You better be a Julio Jones, or Antonio Brown, or the guy from the Giants. You can't just make a couple of plays here and there. Yeah, you may catch 400 passes, but look at how many touchdowns you have. Look at how many yards per catch you have. I mean, all that stuff matters. You got to be a player that's not just a player. You got to impact the whole game.
I think he had like the lowest yards per catch.
That's what I'm saying.
Of any receiver in the league this year.
Yeah, if you're catching, if they're playing off coverage, cover three or cover one, and they're off, and you're catching a 5 yard hitch, and you're catching six or seven of a game, and you only have 50 some yards, come on. That's exactly what you're saying. You got to be a guy that can take the top off the defense, catch the ball, hit 5 or 6 yard hits, and take it the distance. And that, I didn't see it.
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is our guest. Okay, so you've got three options here at wide receiver.
Okay.
Number one, you can take the guys you have now, Matthews, Davis, Taylor, and Sharp, and you can hope that with better coaching that they become better players. You can draft a receiver high and then add him kind of to the mix and hope that he works out maybe better than what they've had. Or you can try to go out and get a free agent that will come in here and be a starting receiver. Of those three, which one do you like the most?
You know, I think number one, I just think that you stick with the guys that you have. I mean, if you look at in free agency, who's out there? There's not too many guys that kind of really wow you that's going to come in and make some plays. And then now if you go get somebody in the draft, now you're doing the same thing that you did with Davis last year. He's got to learn the verbiage of an NFL player. So I just think that, you know, a lot of these guys that the Tennessee Titans, Matthews, Davis, a lot of these guys have a couple of years under their belt. So now the key is is Rob Moore, the new Tennessee Titans receiver coach. He's got to teach them how to run routes. He's got to teach them how to get open. He's got to teach them how to become, these guys have to become impact players. And if he can do that, I think the sky's the limit for these receivers that they have now.
Did you see, I don't know if you saw, but they were talking about Watkins and the receiver coach having some words, I guess, when they were in Buffalo?
Oh, no, I didn't. They didn't like each other?
Yeah, Watkins didn't like him.
Something
after he
like
left
that.
Or something.
Yeah, what,
come on.
Would that affect you?
Heck yeah. Okay, you know, because I coach football, and you have a lot of kids that have great ability. But if you're not coachable and you're not going to listen, I'm not going to deal with it. Because if you're not coachable and you want to do your own thing, you're going to get in the game and you're going to make mistakes because you want to do your own thing. I mean, listen, I was talking to a coach one day, and he coached Richard Dent or something like that. He said Richard Dent will come in after this offseason, and he'll have a piece of paper, and he'll say, what do I need to do to improve? That's a guy that's coachable. So if you have receivers that are not listening to their coach and not listening to the offensive coordinator, I'm not bringing them in, because if you're not coachable, then you're not going to help us win on the field.
Chris Sanders, we will talk to you next week. We'll have a combine going on and so much more. Always good to talk to you.
Yes, sir, bro. Y'all take care.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, okay, Chris Sanders joining us here on the show. And I thought that was interesting that Chris would stay with the group he has. So that's, again, Decker's a free agent. You could theoretically bring him back or not. I don't know. But right now you have Matthews, Davis, Taylor, and Sharp. I think they got to have somebody else in that group. There's got to be somebody that of some with a modicum of talent that adds into that mix.
I would agree.
If they can just go out there and just go get another Derek Mason, I would really... really appreciate that. Preds won last night. They took out the Detroit Red Wings. And, boy, there was something at the end of that game that just set me through the roof. P.K. Subban got the worst penalty. The worst penalty. And yet I felt like everyone was more mad. You know, it was one of those retaliation penalties. And everybody was more mad at the ref for not calling the first thing than for P.K. getting up, shoving the guy in the back. And getting a dumb penalty at the end of the game that ultimately didn't hurt them, and they ended up winning. But, boy, did it set me through the roof when it happened. And Peter was yelling at the refs as they got off the ice. You know, they showed the team walking into the tunnel after the game, and you could see Peter yelling at the refs, horrible job, over and over again. I'm like, I hope Peter yelled at PK, too, you know, for getting up and retaliating and then getting in the ref's face. I mean, it could have been bad. So that bothered me, but I do have one good – well, there were a lot of good things that happened last night. That was the one bad thing that really did bother me at the end of the game. But I got a bunch of good things, including a realization that I have had about the Nashville Predators, and we will get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.